Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing As Twilight Falls by Robert Sheldon. Cheers to starting the conversation.
This piece is a great introduction to lyrical playing for your group. It is beautiful. It's in the key of concert B flat. It is 4/4 throughout, and it is only about 2 minutes long. There is a split alto, clarinet, and trumpet part, but they often double each other throughout.
This piece is so beautiful, as Lara said. I love Sheldon's writing, and this piece is no exception. I think I've played it multiple times in my career with different levels of band. I've heard it done all the way into high school, sub-non-varsity bands, or varsity bands. So this is just a great grade to really showcase your beautiful lyrical playing, or to use on
and
a fall concert,
mm-hmm.
your beautiful tone quality, and it's just really, really written well. There are not very many percussion parts either, so that makes it, again, a very accessible piece to everybody.
It does have optional piano, and I'll be honest, I have never heard it played with piano before. I think that is a decent option if you have a slew of percussionists and one of them plays piano well, but do not feel like the piano part is necessary. I've heard this piece played several times, and I've never heard it played with piano before.
Yes, I echo that as well. So here at the beginning, we're only at about 76 to 80 on the metronome. Clarinet and alto saxophone get to start out with a beautiful melody. Remind your saxes that they're going to color the clarinets. This is a piece that's all about the mellow tones of the band, the mellow colors, clarinet, horn, trombone a few times. It's just really important to kind of keep those in the back of your mind. Always crescendoing through half notes and dotted half notes throughout this piece. Then a lot of times the tuba and the bass clarinet mm-hmm. and Barry come in on beat 4 and kind of beef up the sound of your band and make it sound really full. The bass clarinet is written very low for the instrument, and it just makes it sound so cool. So make sure that that bass clarinet player is a beautiful sounding student and can play everything with a very long tenuto tongue to go along with your tubas.
And the way that this is written, you can do a whole lot with working just your woodwind choir mm-hmm. and balancing that woodwind choir sound, and then your brass choir and balancing that brass choir sound and putting them together. That's a great way to approach a piece like this, especially the way Sheldon has written it.
At measure 3, you do have an A natural in the trombone, euphonium, and bassoon part, and then you have an F sharp in alto and a higher A in the flute part. So just making sure, again, that we're really listening around and trying to tune whenever we have some of those more difficult to tune moments. At measure 4, you get this really cool French horn moment. It is marked accented, but they have tenutos. It needs to be no space. So make sure they're tonguing firmly,
very
but
firm
they're keeping
front,
it
right.
very, very legato tongued. The altos again color the horn, but horn comes out of the mix here. Nobody crescendos louder than the horn part. Suspended cymbal will help to create that moment.
And utilize suspended cymbal, bass drum, timpani when they have those moments in here. They can really help add to that effect.
Yes. At 5, the trumpets and the flutes get a moment, with the horn and alto also being very important here. I like to have horn be the focal point at 5, and flute and trumpet are coloring them, making sure that every time they have the A, C, G in the horns, that sounds really pretty and not struggly. Just make sure that sounds beautiful there. And again, just teaching everybody in your band about sneaky places to take breaths, not on bar lines, like
stagger
your low
breathing.
Yeah, like your low people are going to want to breathe between 6 and 7. Don't allow them to do that. Teach them about other smart places to find breaths after dotted half notes, after regular half notes if it's a non-melodic part. So this is just a great teaching opportunity for you as a teacher to just get the kids to see some ways that they can elongate phrases and make it sound like there's no gaps.
And I think it's really important. Sometimes I think we can use the phrase stagger breathe, and maybe with an older, more mature ensemble, they can handle that on their own. But with younger groups, and you know, I'm sure you've figured out by this point, that Katie and I are a little bit controlling. So
what?
I think it's really important to go like down the row with kids and actually on a piece like this and be intentional about you are breathing here, your neighbor is breathing here,
right?
And making students write that in. We're big fans of writing things in the music ahead of time, but obviously stagger breathing is something that has to be done once the music is in the kids'
right.
hands.
That's a good thing you can do during sectional time for sure.
Definitely.
At measure 7, you have this really pretty clarinet alto sax kind of like swaying in the wind sound. I like it to be clarinet focal and not saxophone, but this has the opportunity to not move together if they're not watching you. So make sure the whole note is underneath and that they're moving right together. 8 has flute and trumpet leading us into 9.
And you should teach that tongued. I would start with those 8th notes articulated so that they are getting
moving
that
together.
Right in time. And then we can add that slur in later.
Yep. And I've also taught it where they crescendo through 7 and then decrescendo at 8. It just makes it sound like it's leading somewhere. And then at 8, it is purposefully written that you're starting stronger and you're decrescendoing into 9 with that flute, oboe, trumpet part, and bells. And bells, don't let bells be too important here. Make sure it's, again, coloring the wind players.
When we get to measure 9, we have the horn and trombone part and tenor sax that kind of take over the melody here. It's a beautiful color combination with those instruments. You have a lot of the upper woodwinds that are kind of just doing this quarter note accompaniment part that is supposed to be supported. But the range that this is written in for horn and trombone, you might need to thin that out. Maybe 2 players or so on a part there, or alternating. You play 2 measures and you play 2 measures here so that melodic line in the horn, trombone, and tenor sax can really come through. You also want to make sure that students are not clipping the last note of the slurs short on the quarter notes and in the 8th notes, the measures before it. And then with the melodic line, not dying away on the half note. 1 and 2, don't die away. 4, 1, making sure they're pushing through that.
Yep, and making sure that they're not all breathing between 10 and 11. Again, this is where the breathing assignments come in, making sure that you've been smart about that.
Where they're going to want to
breathe.
Right,
that's exactly right. And it's an out of tune note. And so like just making sure that we're really listening on that C and the trombone part, euphonium part. The tubas need to tongue really firmly here at 10 so it doesn't just sound like another whole note. It's written to be a different rhythm on purpose, and timpani can help out with that as well.
And then when we get to measure 12, I love this measure. The dotted quarter 8th note pattern here I think is really important and helps us lead into measure 13. So that needs to be played. Like that needs
like
to be the
loud.
Emphasis of the crescendo here. And you might even have one player articulate that 8th note to kind of help lead in. Just be sneaky about it, and that'll help give it a little bit more presence.
Yep.
This is like what we had earlier where you hear the melody and the flute and trumpet and oboe, but this little conversation happening between alto and horn. And like Katie said, I really think that horn part needs to come out and be present. That timpani role that you have in measure 14 is great. That's going to help lead into measure 15 where we go back with these 8th notes. We have these 8th notes that come back in. Again, we want to make sure that our fingers are moving really evenly. All students are moving together. And then when we land at measure 16, that chord is going to be a chord that requires a little bit of attention. Just making sure on beat 1 and then on beat 3 that you are checking the tuning of that chord there.
And that it's moving together for sure too.
Definitely.
Yep.
And there's these staggered entrances right here. So this is another place I think that like you might want to bop this to help get alignment exactly right initially. And then the suspended cymbal, timpani, and bass drum can really help this feeling of leading across the bar line from measure 16 into 17 where trumpets get to take over.
So when the trumpet and the flute and oboe and clarinet get to take over here at 17, you want to make sure that they're not too bright. Flutes are above the staff here. You can take it down an octave. You can have them have the oboe part. If I've had a big flute section and played this piece before, I have done that. I've given some of the kids maybe like one, the oboe part, so that way it's not quite so strident here.
But they should really shimmer up here. It should
yes,
be really
as long
pretty.
As they can play it in tune right. and sound really nice. The clarinets go up above, almost up above the staff here too. So again, just making sure that this doesn't sound out of tune or too bright above the band. The horn has these cool little like beats 3 and 4 moments, like leading tones into 19. Really bring that out whenever you see that. Make sure that flute, oboe, clarinet, trumpet are leading through the 18 dotted quarter note. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, and
no
three,
breath right there.
4 and 1. Right. And then I think that the trumpets can all breathe in 20 while you get this cool like 1, 2, and 3, 4 from saxophone and clarinet. So they get to take a breath there. And this is like
this
the
is
one
a sax
moment.
Moment.
Yeah. I think Sheldon wrote it this way. Maybe I'm not sure, but the saxes are above the staff here. And I think that that's on purpose for them to be a little bit more important. Instead of them coloring other people, they get a moment. And then clarinet and oboe get to be secondarily important to sax there. Then the trumpets come back in on beat 4. So we have a lot of like 4 and 1, 4, 1. Everything's leading to 1.
Passing from player to player, section to section.
And you have to make sure the kids are listening for that and know when they're important and know their role. Lots of tuning issues could occur here in the trombone section because we have some divided notes and some big jumps here. So make sure you're really listening. And maybe if you want on that divided part, just to pick like 1 trombone, 1 euphonium, 1 bassoon and have everybody else play the lower part. It's up to you and what works best for your group. And then again, like I was mentioning, we're going pickups into 21, but this time it's just the trumpets with the melody. So we have to make sure everybody else is softer underneath them. And then we have this cool little effect here where, again, everybody starts louder and then gets softer into 23. And then we have this cute little 1, 2, 3 from flute, oboe, bells. And you want to make sure that that's pretty tongued a little bit firmer. I've told my flutes mm-hmm. to play it kind of like accented with little shimmers of vibrato on each part. And actually it says minus oboe. I forgot about that. It's flute only. Flutes are the ones playing this. So you have to make sure you've divided your flutes out. Maybe if the first flute part's too loud or out of tune on the upper C, then just have one person play that and everybody else play the lower. Again, whatever works for your
group. Of course, it's in bells too.
Right. And then the trumpets, again, are taking over the melody on beat 4 after them. And again, the trumpets are the only ones on the melody. And this has been a difficult spot when I've played this piece before to hear the trumpets without them having to work too hard. So you have to tell everybody else in the band to be at a piano level and maybe only getting up to like mezzo piano, mezzo forte by like 25. They do not need to be a full forte. That way the trumpets can continue to be heard out throughout the band. Then you have the flutes and the oboes coming in again on beat 4, leading us into 26.
And the big suspended cymbal roll going in, and then timpani kind of helps with that arrival moment right at measure 26 as well.
Yes, and one time that I played this piece, I actually did, I mean, this might be totally weird, but I did have my timpani player play with those, like, wooden timpani mallets, mm-hmm. just so that you could hear that one, like, rough really good.
Yeah.
So it's worth a try. You want that to be a focal point.
Yes.
Because it's like, that's,
it is an arrival
that's a
moment.
Big moment yes. in the piece, for sure. Then you're coming down from there and you're decrescendoing 1 foot tap at a time to the trumpets having again now the trumpets get the little bell tones 1, 2, 3
and that's
and
not
split.
An easy range and
right.
you don't like the trumpets really probably should not take a breath after that long note because it's hard to reset your face for that E at least for the first trumpets
right and again like what I said with the flutes maybe audition it and there's one kid on the first trumpet everybody else on the second trumpet whatever works for your group. And then the low people have a beat 4 entrance this time, leading us into 28.
When we get to 28, this is kind of like what we had at the beginning. So this is clarinet lead with saxophone color and adding those low voices in 29 pickups on beat 4, making that very apparent of a firm tongue and making sure that there's no gaps in the sound between the pickup note and what comes after it. Flute and clarinet there at measure 30. And then, of course, we get the horn and saxophone again. This is just like the beginning where we don't want space between these lifted, these accented and tenuto notes here. We want a firm articulation, but no space as we are taking this to the end. Again, this is all more of the same. Trumpet, flute, oboe comes in with the melody at 32 and counter melody.
And this is really important. Yes, it should sound like they're conversing with each other. Like the horn part, 1, 2, 3, trumpet four, on four. 1, 2, 3, trumpet and flute on four. So you want to make sure that you can hear each of those 1, 2, 3, 4 entrances between those voices.
And
sure.
I would isolate those voices and work on exactly that to make sure that it is conversational, seamless, and that you can hear all those parts.
And they sound
equally.
Like they're touching.
Exactly.
Yes, it doesn't sound like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. You want to make sure the beat four is just as full as the other parts.
Again, more of these eighth notes, like we had in the clarinet and saxes, like we had earlier, making sure our fingers are moving together. This retardando at the end with all of these eighth notes is something that will need to be isolated practiced
yes.
a lot. Like practice that just counting and fingering, practice it without the slur, you know, have half of your kids counting, half of your kids playing, like all different types of ways to make this retardando happen together and in time.
And students will want to either make the slur stop going from 35 to 36.
Stopping their air.
They won't breathe because you'll have told them not to do that. But yes, they'll stop their air and then they'll start again at 36. So the last thing you should hear is that clarinet and sax on the and of four. And that's really just so important. I would encourage them to do very little decrescendo there to really help everybody to hear the eighth notes going in. Everybody else
they
can
are
decrescendo.
The pulse. They
right,
are the pulse.
Right, right. And then that arrival point at 36 is not loud, but it needs to be very in tune with lots of vibrato because they're going to sit there for a while. Trumpet 2 needs to kick on their thumb slide leading into this last little part. And the ritardando continues on. So these beat 3 and beat 4s are going to be slower and right on the beat, just watching really carefully. And then that final arrival point at 37 is a beautiful chord. And I think if you can make that shine with the tubas down nice and low, I would hold that sucker for a long time.
As long as you can with a beautiful sound.
Yes, yes. And then the saxophone gets that little color moment. So just encourage them to lean into it, not to be annoying about it, but, you know, just to make it be just a beautiful last chord. I just love this piece so much. I hope you guys will consider using As Twilight Falls in one of your upcoming programs. I think I might go back and use it again next year because I forgot how much I love this piece.
It's beautiful. It is beautiful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Band BFFs.